Well, the sermon is called Kingdom, Not Culture. So I'm going to be reading from Daniel 2:31. Daniel 2:31. And we're going to jump straight in. And so it says, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." This is a dream given to King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is Daniel giving the interpretation. So we're going to continue a bit more. Daniel 2:36. It says this. "This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whatever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you the ruler over them. You are the head of gold." So just keep that for a moment in your head. So this refers to the head of gold. The dates are 626 BC to 539 BC. I'm just going to give you just a short understanding of this kingdom. Babylon was the most dominant world power when Daniel interpreted this dream. It was known for immense wealth, centralized authority, and absolute rule under one king. So gold is an accurate representation. Babylon's splendor and supremacy. The empire ended suddenly in 539 BC when Babylon was conquered by the Medo-Persians without a major battle, exactly as foretold. So we're just going to go through the kingdoms to give you a deeper understanding. So back to verse 39 in your Bible, okay? "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third, a kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth." Again, this is the Medo-Persian chest of arms of silver. The dates are 539 BC to 331 BC. This empire was a dual kingdom, represented by two arms. It was less glorious than the Babylonian, but broader in reach and stronger administratively. Persian rule was defined by the fixed laws and customs that could not be altered. The Medo-Persian Empire fell in 331 BC after the defeat by Alexander the Great. So Greece, the belly and thighs and bronze. The date of this kingdom was 331 BC and 168 BC. Greece expanded rapidly through military strength and speed, fitting the symbolism of bronze. Alexander conquered the known world in a short time. After his death, the kingdom was divided among his generals, weakening its unity. Greek culture and language spread wildly, preparing the world linguistically and culturally for the coming of the gospel. And the Bible was written in Old Greek. Now we're going back to verse 40, right, in your Bibles. "And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. So this refers to the Rome, legs of iron. So the dates are 160 BC AD. Dates are important because we're going to have a summary of the timeline of these kingdoms. Rome was unmatched in military strength, discipline and law. Iron accurately represents Rome's ability to crush and dominate nations. Jesus Christ was born during the Roman rule, and the early church was established while Rome was the world power. Back to verse 41. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mix with the Sumatic clay. 42. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with Sumatic clay, they will mingle and the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So the feet of clay represents the final phase of Rome. This represents the latter divide and the weakened phase of the Roman Empire. Strength and fragility existed together, leading to the instability and the fragmentation. It's the final form of the fourth kingdom, Rome. And I'm jumping back and just finishing off in verse 44. And it says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to you, King, what will come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Okay, this is, I want you to see historically the kingdoms, right? The kingdoms that existed historically, culturally, before. Okay? How God speaks the end from the beginning. So we can know that God is true. A short timeline. The Babylonian kingdom, 100 years. Okay? The Medo-Persian, 200 years. Greece, 150 years. Rome, 600 years. So each of these four kingdoms lasted for many generations in length, with Rome standing far longer than the rest and ruling at the time of Christ when he was born. And so it says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now God arrives on the scene to set up his kingdom. Mark 1, 14 to 15, look, it says this. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Christ was confirming what Daniel and the other prophets, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, had already declared, that the anointed time had arrived and the kingdom of God was now being revealed through him. But what is the kingdom of heaven like? The Lord used many parables to speak of his kingdom. And I started with the one earlier this morning, Matthew 13, 31. I want you to get a picture of the past and of the present. And so he says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his fields, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And he continues the parable of the leaven, 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in these measures of meal, till it was all leavened. Jesus was teaching that the kingdom of God often begins small, okay, in us, in you, but over time has great impact. Leaven, which is yeast, is tiny. Yes, once it's mixed with the dough, it changes the whole batch. In the same way, when we receive Christ and the Holy Spirit, the work of the kingdom may be or begin small, unseen and quiet in you. But it has the power to transform every part of your life. The kingdom of God is transformational. The coming of the kingdom, Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. All right, everyone here, he's talking to us, within you. The kingdom of God is Jesus among you. He was physically present as king on earth. His miracles, his teachings, the authority demonstrated God's rule. But the kingdom was not fully yet established. It was still present spiritually, but not fully manifested in the world. Pentecost, all of you know, the kingdom expands through the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1-4. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? For us today, all of us here must be filled with the Holy Spirit before you're commissioned to do anything, ministry, okay, whatever God wants you to do, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. Your flesh may take you there, but you will not have the understanding, the wisdom to fully realize that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to live under God's rule. Remember, he's the King of Kings. This is a spiritual outworking of the kingdom. One, authority over sin. Right? Authority over sin. Bold witness for Christ. Obedience to God's word. Living by his rules on the earth. Believers become citizens of God's kingdom, living under his reign. So you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom now comes upon you and in you. And your job as kingdom citizens in this world is to bring out the words of Christ, the miracles of Christ, the ways of Christ, the laws of Christ. Right? This is why we're separate from the world. Whoever chooses Christ, you become separate from the world, separate from this kingdom. You're part of a new kingdom. Okay, you're grabbing it, church? Okay, you're grabbing the lineage from the Old Testament to the new covenant, right? Start to understand, okay, your role in the kingdom and about the kingdom. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is in a person. His name is the Holy Spirit. You understand? He represents the kingdom of God on this world, in this world. The kingdom of God is experienced in the lives of those who submit to God. Very important. Right? You can be a Christian and you cannot submit to God. Right? You can be a Christian and do what you want. Right? But Christianity is those that submit to God. Jesus said, who are my brothers and who are my sisters? Church, didn't he? Those that read the will, those that know the will, or those that do the will of my Father. So you can see there's a separation in the text. What God is saying, those that do the will of my Father. These are my brothers, these are my sisters. Right? God's rule and reign in our hearts. His word governs our actions. Right? I can't do this. I can't do that. Because why? Because I'm not allowed. Why? Because the kingdom tells me I'm not allowed to do it. Right? This is it, isn't it? God's rule on earth. The world comes and says, let's go, let's do this. Oh, sorry, I can't do that. Because my kingdom is different to your kingdom. Right? Yesterday on the outreach, I was talking to someone and we were going back and forth. And I said, listen, friend, you're outside the kingdom. We're not going to agree. I represent a different kingdom to you. I represent God's kingdom on earth. We're not going to agree. Right? You have your view, I have mine, but I represent another kingdom. Do you understand, church? You've got to take everything that God's teaching you, bring it into you, and you represent. Christianity has a strong historical, factual, okay, information, right? You should be very, very strong in your Christianity because you've got history on your side. You've got God speaking 600-700 years ago to the prophet Daniel, and all the things come to pass historically. Hallelujah, praise God. You understand? Know what God is teaching you so you can explain it and shift. All right? We're supposed to be wise in these days. You can say it calmly. Sir, that's great, but this is what I'm going to tell you. Go back into the scriptures. Go back into the Bible. Oh, yeah, but it's your Bible. Hang on. History confirms that data. Now, listen to the history. Listen to your history. So God will give you wisdom, right? To articulate what you have to do. Why? Because, listen, you are a citizen of heaven. You need to know about the kingdom, right? You need to know what God's word is. That's what you've got to do. So historically, you need to know what God is saying to us. Kingdom versus culture, right? I wanted to share this paragraph to me is very important, right? God calls us to live under the kingdom first, even when our culture may be strong and deeply rooted. Indian, African, Chinese, Japanese, many other traditions that go back hundreds of years, if not more. While culture can give identity and belonging, it does not replace the real kingdom. Because those kingdoms, the Medes and the Persians and Nebuchadnezzar, they are no here. They're not here anymore. Roman Empire's gone, isn't it? Where's the Roman Empire? Gone. It's vanished. But God said, in the days of the Roman Empire, I'm going to build my kingdom. Then Jesus Christ comes, doesn't he? And then he gives people the revelation. He invites people into the kingdom. While culture may give us some identity and belonging, it cannot replace the real kingdom. Some cultures carry beliefs or practices that conflict with God's truth. Right? If you come from any culture that's strong in the culture, right, you're going to have that clash. Some cultures are traditions stemmed from ancestral and generational spirits. I'm going to say this, that carry curses, right? I'm going to say that, right, because it's the truth. Indian people with their culture, African people mix it with witchcraft, right? I prayed in Speaker's Corner for a police officer. God healed his foot. He was a druid. Different cultures, different belief systems, right? Some of them are marks under generational spirits, right? Think about it. Right? God doesn't want you to be involved in that. Ancestral. Speak to a lot of black people, Indian people, they're talking about ancestral. Aborigines, ancestral spirits, generational spirits. It's a spirit. It's real. But it's not the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one way into the kingdom. You understand? So you guys need to understand this. If you're involved in any cultural things in your life, right, that's crossing over into the kingdom, right, you've got to get rid of it. Everyone has to. Traditions. Think about it. One kingdom. One God. One way. One baptism. The Lord does not want us to be under such rule or reign. But He is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is His title. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee in heaven and on earth and below the earth will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? These are all man-made things, aren't they? Customs, traditions. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's James 4:4. This also includes divided loyalty, value systems, traditions, and ways of thinking that oppose God. Very important, right? One kingdom. Just like the four kingdoms in Daniel 2, which were completely reshaped the cultures, they were conquered. Changing laws and languages and customs. This is what they used to do. They take over, okay? The kingdom would take over and they would change everything. They would strip the identity and they would make you listen to them. God also calls us to be transferred into His kingdom. Everyone here, He wants us to leave behind anything that opposes His rule and embrace His ways fully. God's kingdom does not erase who we are, but assimilates us, reshapes our hearts and our minds and lives so that we reflect His authority, His purpose, as citizens of heaven. Peter says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness, old kingdom, darkness, into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have obtained mercy. Thank you, Lord. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Church. A snapshot of the kingdom of God. The only culture all of us here want to fully embrace, fully, is the one that aligns with heaven. And this is all ultimately, everyone here is headed towards heaven. Right? Revelation 7:9 gives us this snapshot. It's a very beautiful picture. Revelation 7:9. After these things, I looked up, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number. It says this, of all nations, and tribes, and people, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessings, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and praise and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Church, God is wanting us to realign ourselves, okay, wherever you are today. Okay, if you've got customs, if you've got things which are not of the kingdom of God, God is wanting us to sever, all of us, me and you, wherever your history was, whatever you're part of, right? Whatever you're born into, right? Whatever that may be, you know what it is. God is telling you to come out of it. Come into the kingdom fully. Embrace God fully. Take away the old things, old stuff. So as we begin the new year of 2026, we want to start in holiness. Right? Everyone here. You know why? Heaven is holy. You see? Holy God sent his Holy Son, who sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, to make you holy. Isn't that right? To get you ready, to take you where? To a holy heaven. You understand? The kingdom of heaven is holy. Nothing perverse can enter into it. Totally free. That means consecrating, I've sent messages earlier in the week, and sanctifying yourselves. Examining your life. Everyone, you examine your life. And removing anything, any parts of our culture that you may be a part of that do not reflect the kingdom of God. Come out of it. Come out of it. The culture of this world is not our kingdom. Rather, we belong to a different kingdom. The kingdom of Christ established through the new covenant. The kingdom and the resources and the holy ones shape how we live. We're not alone. You might look around and you don't see nothing. But we're part of a kingdom. You are part of a kingdom because you follow the rule and the reign. You go home every day. You pray to God every day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that right, church? God is wanting us this year to understand our kingdom. You and we are citizens of the kingdom spoken about in Scripture. I'm going to go back to what Daniel said. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So with that being said, I'm just going to just pray over everyone here today, okay, for 2026. Just be open to the Lord's leading, okay? You speak to the Lord and I'm just going to pray, because I would love everyone here to come out of anything that they are a part of, being born into, being bullied into, being manipulated into by others. I come into the kingdom of God, into the glorious, beautiful, spectacular, holy kingdom of God. And so, Father, with your word being said today, firstly, I pray for the brothers and sisters here today that this word, maybe all, maybe some, maybe part, may come alive to them. Oh God, may a key to a door be opened into their hearts. May they enter in, walk over the drawbridge into the kingdom fully and completely. That their life may start to be a change because they're impacted by the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ established. I pray, oh God, in 2026, at the beginning of 2026, they will, Lord, break off any allegiances to the past or cultures or traditions, Lord, steeped in the flesh, steeped in a different spiritual realm, that you will close every door, oh God, as they step in and step over, that you may close every door to the past and to the lies and to the false kingdoms. You know, as Jesus Christ said, he has conveyed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. So I pray for a blessing over the brothers and sisters here today. I pray for a separation over the brothers and sisters here today, that any connection to any other realm by the word of God, which is living and powerful, may be cut off completely from everyone here in the spiritual realm. Every tie will be closed. Every door will be locked. Oh, Father God, there is only one door that we open. That is the door of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, entry into the kingdom of God. Will they ever find pastures, Lord? Will they ever find peace? Will they ever find revelation? Will they ever find rest for their souls? Every brother and sister here today, they'll have peace in their mind. Maybe a season that the mind goes quiet and they will hear the word of God. They may see the word of God. They may live a life led by the Holy Spirit. They may break off, that they may prune every branch in their tree, oh God, that doesn't produce fruit. Every part of their life that does not produce fruit. Every person that they know that's not adding to their life, they were cut off, oh Father God. Every life on the past, or Jesus, or Saviour, will you continue to save every brother and sister here today? Bring them into the kingdom. Save them more so. May they have a life of peace and joy. May they cast their burdens onto you. May they leave the regrets behind, the mistakes behind, oh Father God. May they start a brand new life, refreshed, refreshed, replenished, restored, with God's presence upon them, with the yoke removed from them, oh Father God. May they be on that escalator that God is just moving them from, Lord, from that place. Conveyed is the word it says in Colossians, that you may be conveyed, a conveyor belt. If you've ever been to an airport and it's really long, you're on a conveyor belt and it's moving you along. May you be on a conveyor belt for the rest of your life. May it continue. May you be committed, oh God. May they make that true change at the beginning. May they get the house in order. May they get their life in order. May their families be blessed. The children be blessed. The husbands be blessed. Their lives be blessed. May they live a life of abundance. And that you paid a gruesome price to give them, oh God. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you, church, this morning as you're in this place of stillness. May God impart into you more wisdom in this season to make a better decisions. May God remove every fear and anxiety and every lie and every trap that the flesh tries to convince us that we have from the pit of hell. In the words of Christ himself, nothing good dwells in the flesh. My words are life and they are spirit. May people here, oh God, build a new godly habits every morning. May they start in prayer in the secret place of the Most High. May they experience the presence of God when they leave their homes in the morning. May God guide them. May God protect them. May God watch over them. May he bless them, oh God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. May they have a long life, oh God. May they fulfill their quota. May you remove every blockage and every lie and every trap and every Goliath in their path. And every month they're going to face, wherever it may be, is nothing to you, mighty God. You're there already before them. I pray that people grow in confidence, in love, in mercy, in grace, in the Spirit, in things in the Spirit, in fruits of the Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. May they have a hunger and a zeal that will continue to grow. May they be filled with every color, every beautiful color and joy given to us through the new covenant in your blood. And may they be excited, oh Jesus. May you bring a new excitement into the church. May weariness leave them and tiredness leave them. May procrastination be nailed to the cross for some. May they turn their back on it, never looking back. And picking up that zeal of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us. Holy Spirit, beautiful, precious Holy Spirit. If we have grieved you in any way, resisted you in any way, forgive us, Lord, for our ignorance, for our immaturity. Holy Spirit, may you come upon the people even more so, oh God. May they submit to you in new ways, in more ways, in 2026, oh God. And may their life never, ever be the same. Again, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.